the Black Sheep started in 2005. In August 2005, I was in a band called Solemn Vow. It was a local hardcore band. And we were playing a show at Skank Skates, the legendary indoor skate park next door. And we looked at this abandoned building that George sort of had sitting there. You know, it was sitting there for years. It was kind of unused. And my singer at the time was like, wow, this would make a great place for it to have a venue. You know, we talked about that in the past, I think. I was only in the band for maybe 2 months. Everybody's just like, oh, okay, maybe. You know, I was kind of skeptical, like, okay, we just, none of us have money. How are we going to do this, you know? And it just sort of happened. It worked.
That's the voice of Kevin Bradford, one of the founders of Black Sheep Cafe, the all-ages punk music venue on the corner of South Grand Avenue and 11th Street in Springfield. It's at the center of a plethora of indie and DIY activities in Springfield's once blighted Southtown neighborhood. Today on The Scene, we're bringing you the story of Black Sheep. I'm Rachel Otwell with WUIS, joined by Scott Fangold, arts reporter for the Illinois Times.
It's said that nature abhors a vacuum. We'll see that although the Black Sheep did not actually spring forth from an absolute void, it's true that it arrived from humble and not necessarily promising beginnings to perform well beyond anybody's expectations, showing no sign of slowing down after a decade in business. Kevin Bradford and a few friends got it going. One of the guys helped bankroll it with money earned while serving in the National Guard. Still, by the end of the first year, Bradford was the only original partner still connected to the project.
Everything was really a challenge. I mean, it was so unpredictable because you're not really working with a budget. It was always week by week, month by month, and you didn't know if the next week was even going to be there. So there was always challenges with that, just from a financial aspect. The challenges of working with the public, especially with a marginal segment of the public, was always very challenging. And how can we welcome people in and make them feel invited?
From the beginning, the name Black Sheep seemed to say it all. Generally speaking, the teens that gravitated here were not star athletes or likely to be part of the homecoming court. Instead, it has served as a sort of haven for kids who are perhaps a little awkward, outsiders, transgender kids, or just arty types whose interests don't intersect with the standard high school culture. The venue faced zoning issues with the city and weathered many small battles. Landlord and neighborhood godfather George Sinclair was always there to provide support, helping to keep the doors open even when things sometimes seemed dire. Over the years, big names came through. The Casualties played a couple times, and Jesse Michaels from Operation Ivy also performed. Earlier this year, indie darling Screaming Females played a show. One way that Black Sheep has facilitated more bands having a place to play is through festivals like Dumbfest, which concentrates on bringing touring bands to the Springfield area, bands that might not ever make it here otherwise. Dumbfest, part of the Black Sheep scene, is in its third year. Rachel and I head over on a Friday night, the first day of the weekend-long fest.
Yeah, we're standing under a little tent outside of Black Sheep Cafe while torrential rain comes down. We're surrounded by a small number of smoking people. Looming are playing inside. We can hear them. We probably can hear them more pleasantly than the people who are inside the Black Sheep right now. This is a pretty comfortable volume for us. Hey, it's George Sinclair. Hey, George, you want to talk to us?
Sure, that's right.
So how far do your roots go back with this place?
Well, the music and the skating used to be hand in hand. The first first musicians down here were skaters who rounded up instruments and started putting on shows. So... slowly and over time, the music has grown and grown, and the skating has kind of floundered a little bit. So now the music is by far the biggest draw down here. Even though the skating is going strong in its own right, in its own way, it just will never have the crowd appeal that music does.
George opened Skank Skates in the late 80s. Since then, the 53-year-old has been an enabler of the scene. The actual venue consists of a front room that contains a table for merch and a tiny bathroom, and then the main stage room, which has graffiti and art on just about every inch of space. There's built-in benches around the wall where some kids stand to get a better view and to get out of the way of the mosh pit that frequently takes place. Kids dance frenetically and crash into each other, though the second anyone goes down, there's always a hasty effort by others to help them back on their feet. Although there's the occasional bloody nose, most everyone manages to come away from the dance floor unscathed. Brian Galecki is standing in the outdoor area, a convergence of space between the Southtown Recording Studio and Dumb Record Store, which he got up and running, plus Skank Skates, an indoor skate park that was there before everything else, and of course, Black Sheep. This is where the socializing happens. There's a bench taken out of the back of a car, a picnic table, and plants that make up miniature gardens, and other makeshift furniture.
So we have a tent set up. You're really outside, just like is a great spot for everybody to hang out because we kind of utilize our back area here in between all the businesses. And even tomorrow's like out here, we're going to have food out here for everybody, potlucks and stuff, you know, and especially like during the day, it's going to be an all around, like everybody hanging out and stuff. We have a lot of vans here, like it's crazy load in, load out right now, but earlier in the day, the slot was completely cleared and everybody was just outside. It wasn't raining like it is now, and it was just great. Like the weather, it's raining right now, but I would say today's been pretty great overall.
Galecki is now one of the owners of Black Sheep. He also helps organize and book shows. Bo Meato is finishing a cigarette outside. Bo's transgender and prefers to go by neutral pronouns like they and them. Bo says they come here at least once a week and uses Southtown Studio to record and rehearse.
People see nothing and they choose to make something. And that's the part of the DIY, the whole DIY idea is, you know, do it yourself, build it yourself. Like, and that's pretty much the... That sort of way of thinking is definitely what's brought this here. I mean, you got Dumbfest, and there's people coming in from all over the country. So, like,
how long have you been coming to Black Sheep?
I've been coming to Black Sheep since I was like 14 years old.
Yeah. How old are you now?
I'm 21. So I've been coming here pretty consistently. I am in several bands. I think that in the summer everybody starts more bands because you know all the free time.
Right.
At one point, like. Last summer, I think I was in like 7 or 8 bands, but now I've got it down to a nice 2 or 3. So,
what bands are you in currently?
I play guitar in Kingworm, and I do vocals in Asthma.
Bo has on a unique outfit, one that would be sure to draw attention, not all positive, at most any other public space. But here, it's different. Bo isn't even the most uniquely dressed. No one bats an eye. Here, artistic expression is just as welcome in the form of absurd, inspired clothing.
I am wearing an adorable black sun hat with a little pin that I got from Penny Lane on it that says... I like my men handsome, ruthless, and stupid. I'm wearing cute fishnets that my significant other, Leo, purchased for me. A black shirt and pink short shorts and steel-toed shoes with weird plastic spikes in them in case I have to get in a fight.
Does that happen often here?
No, not at all. Not in Southtown. I can count. Then I've seen, like, one altercation. And it involved people that don't come around anymore, so.
Bo is part of the widespread effort to keep this environment safe and those who attend away from alcohol and drugs, which in turn keeps this place viable.
I mean, I've had to do some, like, sweeps of the parking lot today of, like, making sure that there's no, like, people, like, sitting around and drinking beers. Like, there's a sign right there, and if people are doing drugs or, like, smoking stuff or like drinking alcohol here, they'll be asked to leave. So we got to keep it all ages, and like the city will probably crack down. If so, I mean, we want a safe space for like kids, because there's, like I said, there's not really much else around here.
Over near one of the parking lots, Bobby Marcos is unloading a trailer full of musical equipment.
I play in a band called Cloakroom. We're from Northwest Indiana. We played here at the Black Sheep Cafe February 23rd of last year, and we had a great time. And you know, the owners graciously invited us back to be a part of their festival here, you know, so we're very fortunate. There's a lot of good friends here, so.
And what kind of music do you do?
We draw from a lot of pools of influence. We like a lot of 90s stuff. We listen to a lot of Hum, a lot of Failure, Swerve Driver. For people unfamiliar with that sect, I would just say we sound like a slowed down version of Nirvana or something, you know? Yeah.
And so how does this venue compare to places that you play otherwise?
This venue is one of my favorite venues to play simply because it was built from the ground up by people who love music. There really wasn't, you know, you can tell there's a lot of heart here. You can tell that the people that put on shows here really care about it. And we go to, I mean, we played venues all over the world, and you have your good ones, you have your bad ones. A lot of the time you get mixed in with people that are just kind of going through the motions, and the two experiences we've had here, we've been welcomed with open arms, and people at Black Sheep Cafe really seem to care about the scene here, so it's very encouraging.
Marco says it is venues like this that let musicians like him do what they love for a living. Claire Frasche has grown up in the scene. She's gone from an attendee to an organizer, artist, writer, gardener, and musician. She also helped form the Southtown nonprofit, which wants to archive hundreds of hours of video taken over the past 25 years at Skank Skates, which has hosted music shows as well as famous skateboarders like Tony Hawk. The nonprofit is also trying to coordinate volunteers who will help with community gardening and even beekeeping, something that takes place on the property.
The nonprofit is basically so that we can write grants to receive money that will help improve this general area and this neighborhood. You know, it'd be cool even if we could have goals such as opening a small grocery store or even just improving the spaces we have already started. So it would also ground us in the community in a more, I guess you could say, legal way, so that we're kind of giving back to Springfield, not just through the culture, but through other things.
I'm a late bloomer, assorted plant blossom, so dim, taking years to rise above this bed of dirt.
Claire says she's formed relationships not just with those who attend shows, but also the people who own surrounding businesses. Clay's Popeye's Barbecue is just down the street on South Grand. Mary Clay has long been with the half-century-old business, which has been in this location for the last 20 years.
I'm one of the owners. I think the kids are positive, so we have to get a positive environment around here from them. I have no problem with them. I'm actually surprised that they do as well as they do, to have 100 to 200 kids sometime in one space. And then you don't have any problems.
Has it affected, like, the menu and stuff that you have here?
A lot of the kids are vegan, and we do vegan chili. We do vegan greens. We do fried green tomatoes, okra, and french fries. We do try to do red beans and rice, stuff that, you know, they like to eat.
So has it helped business in the last 10 years since
the past? Because when they have a big show over there, they send the people over here to eat.
Many in the Black Sheep crowd are vegetarian and vegan, a group that you might think would want nothing to do with a restaurant specializing in barbecue meat. The recent menu change at Popeye's featuring vegan fare shows a spirit of collaboration and flexibility among the venue's neighbors.
Sammy Flores is a young hip-hop artist and singer. She moved to Springfield from Wisconsin about a year ago. She says she was apprehensive that her music would not be welcome at Black Sheep, but she's already played over 20 shows here.
Wisconsin's real country, you know? And then I was in Lafayette, Indiana. I wasn't really feeling it. And then I was kind of in Chicago for a little bit. And then I was like, I had some friends here already, so I just came out here and it ended up working out. I started at Lincoln Land, and I love music, but I'm a huge humanitarian. I really want to open safe homes for sex trafficking victims.
Yeah, I see the same thing every day, trying to fight this battle in every way. Lack of all control leads to pure addiction, lost in life, and I can't seem to find what's missing. I got my heart all on my sleeve, but who's
was really trying to help with the Flora says her passion for music and activism has found a sense of purpose here. She's already been a part of a charity event to support a child with cerebral palsy.
This place is family, you know? That's the best part about Black Sheep. It's family.
The sense of a close-knit community and support is part of what's kept Jessica Knight in Springfield. The lead singer of Looming, one of the most popular bands in the Black Sheep scene, and one that was signed to No Sleep Records in California earlier this year, grew up in the Quad Cities. After moving to town, she went to her first Black Sheep show at the age of 19. She says growing up, her parents always had non-mainstream music playing in the background, but she didn't find other people her own age to relate to about it until coming to shows here. And before long, she was picking up a guitar and writing songs herself.
I mean, it changed my whole life because I never thought I would play music before I came here, you know. And then having it as something that's so accessible, because usually you go to a show and it's like a concert on a stage and they look like they've been doing this forever and you have no idea. They must have, like, been born that way, you know. But here it's, you see, like, the charm and the beginnings of everybody's projects. And I feel like that makes people feel more comfortable coming out and starting out themselves, gives people room to fumble, I guess, you know, so that they can grow, and that's exactly what I have done here.
Knight says she still has a love for pop music, like singers Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift, and it influences her writing. Here, she can try out new pieces she's working on in front of a crowd without fear of shame or judgment. And the audience listens in earnest, she says.
It's not like you are standing there in front of a bunch of scary people. And when people come and play here, I've heard a lot of people comment on how attentive everyone is and interested. And it's not like judgmental at all. It's really like, I want to see what you have. I don't know, it's endearing. Some people are taken back by it, I think. They stop and they're like, wow, everyone is quiet while I tune my instrument. But it's out of total respect. Like, it's really great.
Brandon Carnes is Jessica's bandmate in Looming. He has numerous other projects, and he runs Southtown Recording Studios, which he also lives in. He's also now part owner of Black Sheep, since Kevin Bradford handed over the reins to him and a couple others earlier this year. We asked what keeps an ambitious, energetic guy like him in Springfield.
Honestly, when I was younger, I always saw myself like going out to California. But as I got involved with this community, I realized people come here from California and they say, we don't have anything like this where I'm from. This a cool hardcore band called Scalped from San Francisco came through a couple months ago. They were like, we've never seen anything like this, you know? And so, you know, I guess the core of it for me is that, like, the culture of Springfield is what we make it.
For now, that scene is vibrant and thriving. As Black Sheep's founder, Kevin has seen what started as a few teenagers' idealistic dream flourish now for a decade, building a community around it.
There was that sense that you weren't alone. You know, you may have felt like a loner in high school, and, you know, and all of us growing up, we're kind of loners, you know. A lot of us are introverts, a lot of us are just different. You know, none of us really fit in with other kids, and I was like that too. I was trying to navigate the best I could, and I think a lot of people that gravitate towards underground music scenes and things like that are the same way. And those people found, you know, they found a home through it and found good things through it. I think I did my job.
For The Scene, I'm Illinois Times staff writer Scott Finkel.
And I'm Rachel Otwell with WUIS.